You can have all this world. Give me Jesus. That was so good, wasn't it? Every bit of the worship today was a blessing to me. I hope it was to you. Thank you, worship team, for working so hard to prepare every week to bring us into God's presence and worship. Greg, that was a beautiful rendition of that song. Thank you for sharing that with us. I appreciate it so much. We are in the fifth week of Experiencing God. Y'all should have just completed the fifth week. And the title of the message today is Knowing How and When God Speaks. That's something we need a handle on, right? We need to know how God speaks and when He speaks. So let's try the memory verse. I tell you, I struggle with memory verses, but I'm going to try, and y'all try with me. It's John 8:47. Y'all say it out loud. Help me. Wait, let's start up. Y'all waiting for me to start it, wasn't you? This is the one who belongs to God. Now, I know it's hard for y'all to hear that, but I heard it really good, and about five people did so well. No, I'm kidding. Y'all did really great. Let me read it to you. Because I had that memorized this morning, and my mind just went blank. I guess the Lord wanted to hear y'all without a microphone. It says, the one who's from God listens to God's word. This is why you don't listen, because you're not from God. That's powerful. That's a powerful couple of sentences right there, and that's what the message is going to be about this week. So let's go to the Lord in prayer and let's get into it. Heavenly Father, we're just grateful today to be able to open your word and to be able to just get into it, and by the power of the Holy Spirit to have it spoken to our hearts in every way, Lord, that each individual needs it here. I know you'll speak to my heart in one way and somebody else's. Maybe you say something totally different, but that's the power of the Holy Spirit, and that's what we're going to be talking about today, is how you speak through the Holy Spirit. And one of the ways you do that is through the preached word. And so I just pray today that our spiritual ears will be open to hear what the Holy Spirit has to say to us through your word today. I pray that it would impact lives. I pray that it would change lives. I pray that it would save souls. I pray that people would go out of here never being the same. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So God does speak in different ways. You know, in the Old Testament, God spoke through visions, dreams, prophets, miraculous signs, and in many other ways. You know, he still uses those today, but not as all-encompassing as he did in the whole Old Testament. I'll tell you how it still happens today. Visions and dreams, for example. I hear so many stories of people in closed countries that don't even have a Bible. Or maybe they're persecuting believers, and God gives them a vision or a dream to introduce them to the Savior. That's how it happened oftentimes in the Old Testament, because, of course, we didn't have the whole Bible yet. The Holy Spirit had not been given to all men yet. And so God spoke very differently there. But however God speaks, I want to give you four keys to God speaking that we find in Scripture that works across the board for everybody. The first one is this. When God spoke, it was usually unique to the individual. In other words, when He speaks to you, He's speaking to you. That's what I said in my prayer, is that, you know, I preach one message, but the Holy Spirit interprets to you as an individual something very different that He might interpret to me. So when God spoke, it was usually unique to the individual. Number two, when God spoke, the person was sure God was speaking. Number three, when God spoke, the person knew what God said. And four, when God spoke, that was the encounter with God. And so we see that those four keys, they're still the keys of how God speaks today. In other words, He speaks uniquely to you, uniquely to me. When we hear Him speak, we know it's God. And when we hear him speak, we know what he says. You go, well, how can you be so sure about that? Well, let me ask you something. A God who creates a universe, is it really hard for him to speak to you? He's created a universe. He created you. It's hard for us sometimes to listen to him. That's the connection we need to make in this message today, is how do we hear what he's saying and know that he's speaking. So those four keys are still in practice today. Now, there's some false notions about how God speaks. Somebody will say, God is going to stop me if I'm wrong. He's going to bless me if I'm right. That's not true. You know, some people will pray like this: Lord, I'm going to go in this direction, and if it's the wrong direction, Lord, shut the door. That's false. God doesn't work that way. And you know, when it comes to deadlines, when I was a young man, I fell into this trap. And I would say, God, I need an answer by Thursday. And Lord, I think that you would have me do this. And if I don't hear any different by Thursday, I'm going to do this. You know what? God is not committed to keep me from making a mistake. It's just not. He's not obligated at all to stop me when I'm about to make a mistake off some false notion of how I think God speaks. And you know, I'll throw in a couple more. People come up to me, and this has happened, you know, throughout my adult life. People say, I got a word from the Lord for you. I'm like, really? And he couldn't tell me? He had to tell you to come tell me? Is he mad at me? What's going on here? You know, there's so many false notions. And here's the problem with that, and here's the reality of that. See, too often people rather trust experiences, they'd rather trust methods, they'd rather trust formulas. You know why? Because that seems easier than having to work on a close relationship with the Lord every day. It's easier to have some formula and you can go, I did 1, 2, and 3, done. But that daily relationship, cultivating that intimacy with God, is not near as easy as, hey, just give me a formula of how to get it done. But what God wants is for us to have that relationship. We talked about that for the last 2 weeks. It's all about intimacy. It's all about that relationship. And the closer we are to him, the easier it is to hear him when he speaks. And you know, when he speaks, here's how we have to do this. You say, well, I'm not hearing him speak. Well, we have to wait until we hear clearly from God. We have to wait until we hear clearly from God. That's the pattern found in Scripture. That's those four keys that we just talked about earlier. God has no problem making his voice to us clear. That's not a problem for him. So we can't get in a hurry. We can't skip over relationship with him. And we have to trust God's timing. Because if I say to him, God, Thursday I need an answer from you, and if you don't do it, then this is my best answer. I'm going to take it as being from you, and I'm going to go. That's not trusting God's time. Because some of the biggest mistakes in my life that I didn't make was because God didn't give me an answer when I thought I needed it. And I said, well, if I don't hear from God, then I don't have an answer, and I can't go forward. So the answer is no, or the answer is wait. But we can't get in a hurry. We can't skip over relationship, and we have to trust God's timing. So God speaks in different ways. Not only does he do that, God speaks by the Holy Spirit today more than ever. You know, in the Old Testament, God spoke through his prophets and in various ways, like I shared a few moments ago. In the Gospels, God spoke through Jesus because Jesus was on earth, walking around, speaking. And that's who God wanted everybody to listen to. And so much so that his words are recorded in this beautiful book right here for us to always remind ourselves of all the things he said. And from Acts until now, God's been speaking through the Holy Spirit. You'll remember in Acts how the Holy Spirit came upon the believers. And from that day forward, then everyone who is a believer has that gift of the Holy Spirit, where the Holy Spirit is within them. Now, there's four truths about the work of the Holy Spirit. Here's the first one. The Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Truth. He's never going to steer you wrong. He's the Spirit of Truth. John 14, 17, the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. That Spirit of Truth is speaking the truths of God. The second key is this. The Holy Spirit dwells, we heard it in that last verse, but even more so, the Holy Spirit dwells within every believer. Within every believer. I said earlier today, I hope y'all came in filled with the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit wants us to be filled with him, but sometimes we displace him with sin. We'll let other things get in the way of the Holy Spirit. Other things, we let junk in our life that stand in the way of being filled with the Holy Spirit. It's like a glass of water and you drop some ice cubes in it. If that glass is full, you drop those ice cubes, some of the water splashes out. So something has displaced the water. When we let sin have control of our life, it kind of takes some of the place that the Holy Spirit wants to fill in us. He dwells in us. 1 Corinthians 6:19. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? I believe in one of the songs that we were singing earlier, one line that really grabbed me. And I think what it said was, here's my heart, Lord, take and seal it. Man, if we would pray that prayer. Here's my heart, Lord, seal it with your Holy Spirit. Don't let anything get in there other than you. I want to be filled with you. I don't want sin in my heart. I don't want lies in my heart. I don't want hypocrisy in my heart. Take my heart, Lord, and seal it with the Holy Spirit of promise. That's why we're not our own. We're now a dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. Number three, the Holy Spirit is how God reveals himself to us. 1 Corinthians 2:9-10. But as it's written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Listen, but God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. The natural man doesn't see the things of God. The natural man doesn't understand the things of God. It's only by having that Holy Spirit dwelling in us, because we became a believer, and that was the gift we received when we experienced our new birth in Christ, and now that Holy Spirit reveals the things of God to us. And then number four, the Holy Spirit is how God shows us what he's doing. John 16:13-14 says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it unto you. So today, God speaks through the Holy Spirit. You ever heard that? People say, our spirits bore witness. Two people, both full of the Holy Spirit, you get to talking about the things of the Lord and you both get excited. Our spirits bore witness. You know, here's the thing about the Holy Spirit. Truth is never discovered. Truth is revealed. And it's revealed by the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit reveals truth to you, he's not leading you into an encounter with God. When the Holy Spirit reveals truth to you, that is the encounter with God. The Holy Spirit's God. And he's speaking to you not to just say, hey, you know, isn't that good? He's speaking to you because he wants you to know something that he's about to do, and he wants you to do it. That's an encounter with God. We go on to see that God speaks for our revelation. When God speaks, his ultimate goal is to bring us into an intimate love relationship with him. He wants to bring us closer and closer and closer. And so he'll tell us that he's about to do something in our life, and then he'll assure us that he can do it, and then he'll do it, and after he does it, we stand back and go, wow, that could have only been God, and I'm just going to draw closer to him. I just want more of Jesus in my life because he can do that. That's why God does these miraculous things in our life. God speaks by the Holy Spirit first to reveal himself. God reveals himself to increase faith that leads to action, to increase faith that leads to action to help us overcome whatever our crisis of belief is at that time. Because when God wants to do something in your life, it's bigger than you. I mean, it's something you know you can't do. And so he say, I'm about to do this in your life, and I want you to trust me, and I want you to have faith, and I want you to take action. I want you to get past, and you'll have a crisis about that. Can God really do this? I can't tell you how many times that I've stood up and said, hey, I think the Lord's taken us this way, or declare something that God wants to do in a church. And I'm like, I'm putting my whole neck on the line here, God. I'm going to stand up in front of a whole church and say, church, God wants us to go this way. Man, you better have faith when you do that. And that's what he's talking about here, is that he reveals himself to increase our faith, to lead us to action that overcomes whatever doubts and fears we have, that crisis of belief. He speaks by the Holy Spirit. For example, when God spoke to Abram, he revealed himself as God Almighty. Why? Because at 99 years old, he's telling Abram, I'm giving you a son. 99 years old. And listen to Genesis 17:1. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am Almighty God. Just walk before me blameless. And Abram needed to believe that God was Almighty God. That's why God was introducing himself like that. Abram had to believe that God could do what he said he was about to do. And when God gave 100-year-old Abraham and 90-year-old Sarah a son, you know what they knew? They knew that God was God Almighty. It's like, how else could that happen? He is God Almighty. Sarah's going, yep, God Almighty. I was doing good, wasn't I? Somebody told me before the church service that they're like, we like you, you're just real. I'm like, there ain't nothing else I can be. Okay. When Jesus spoke to the Samaritan woman, remember that at the well? He revealed himself as living water. John 4:10, Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. This was so she could believe that Jesus could satisfy her spiritual thirst. And man, when he satisfied that thirst, you know what she did? She went back to town and brought the whole town to Jesus. She knew him in a way she had never known him before. She had more confidence and more faith than she ever had before. And she ran back to town and said, everybody, I think the Messiah is at the well. And they all went out to see him. When Jesus fed the 5,000, he revealed himself as the bread of life. John 6:35, and Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes on me shall never thirst. You know, this was so they could believe that Jesus was able to satisfy the spiritual hunger of their souls. And so he gave them that bread. Also, God speaks by the Holy Spirit to reveal his purposes. God reveals his purpose so we all will know what he plans to do. And when God, think about when God spoke to Noah. He didn't say, Noah, what do you want to do for me today? He didn't say that. Here's what he did. It wasn't important that Noah was planning to be a godly man for God. That wasn't important. What was important was that God was about to destroy the world's sin problem, and he wanted Noah to be a part of saving a remnant so that the earth could be repopulated. He's not like, Noah, what do you want to do for me today? He's like, no, I got a plan, and you ain't going to believe it, but I need you, buddy. I need you. You're it. Why did he choose Noah? Because Noah was a righteous man. If you don't want God choosing you for amazing things, just don't be righteous. If you want God to do amazing things in your life, just make sure that your spiritual house is in order and wait on him, and he'll do great things for you. You know, through the Bible, we see God revealing his purposes and his plans, and we see him involve people in what he's doing. And it's such a contrast to today, because today, here's what a lot of Christians and churches do. It's like they come along and they dream up what they want to do for God. They want to be in control. They dream up what they want to do for God. Then they make long-range plans based on their priorities and based on what they choose. However, whatever we plan to do for God is not important, but what he plans to do is critical. What he plans, we need to get in line with God and say, God, what are you planning to do? Let me give you three verses. Psalms 33, 10 through 11, it says, the Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He makes the plans of people of no effect. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of his heart for all generations. God knows his plan. He don't need us to plan. He needs us to obey. He needs us to pray. He needs us to listen. And he needs us to get involved when he shows us his plan. Proverbs 19:21, many are the plans in a person's heart, but it's the Lord's purpose that prevails. Now, I'm not saying that you can't have good plans. I'm not saying that you shouldn't plan. You should plan once the Lord shows you what he wants you to do and he tells you what you need to plan. But we can have great intentions and not be in the center of God's will. I think a lot of people do that. A lot of believers do that. 2 Timothy 1:9, God has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. Listen, God, you know what that says? Before time began, God already had the plan then. He's not asking you to come up with a plan for him. He's asking you to learn how to be in intimate relationship with him. He's asking you to learn how to love him. And he said, you know what? If you can just get there and you can just trust me and have faith in me, I'm going to bring you into my plans. And you're gonna learn to know me like you've never known me before. Isn't that the title of the study? Knowing and experiencing God, right? Knowing and experiencing the will of God, subtitle. Also, God, he speaks to reveal himself, his purposes, and God speaks by the Holy Spirit to reveal his ways. God reveals his ways because they are the only way to accomplish his purposes and plans. His ways. God's ways are different than our ways. Isaiah 55:8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. You think you're smart, but maybe not. My ways are way past you. You need to just hang on. Let me show you what I'm about to do. Only God's ways can bring glory to him. Our ways may be seen as good to us, and we may even accomplish some moderate success. However, we will never see the mighty power of God revealed in our ways. We'll never see it. It's only in his ways and us going by his ways, us fulfilling his ways. Only God's ways can bring him glory. You know, in Matthew 14, we saw where Jesus fed the 5,000 because he wanted them to know he was the bread of life, because he wanted them to know that he could satisfy their spiritual hunger. And so when they were faced with that mountain, that crisis of belief, those disciples and all those people was crowding them in, and they knew they were all hungry. They'd been following them all day. And the disciples said, Lord, send them home. Send them home hungry. They'll go find something to eat. Lord, they're hungry. Send them home. That was their best way. That was their best plan. Makes sense. Send them home. They probably got food at home, Lord, and they come back tomorrow. But Jesus' way was so different, wasn't it? He says, no, have them sit down. Why make them walk all that way when I can feed them right here? And that was such a crisis of belief for them. But the point of that is this. With the lad's lunch, he fed 5,000 and had 12 baskets left over, one for each disciple. To say, oh, you didn't know I could do that? Here, take that home with you. But their best that they could do was send them home hungry. That's the difference between God's ways and our ways. God speaks to reveal himself, his purposes, and his ways. Now, I want to end by sharing another story. And I know lately I've been sharing a lot of stories from my life. Last week about Susan and I, previous weeks about different opportunities in ministry. But it's the only way I know to glorify God from firsthand experience is to just give a testimony of what he can do. And so I remember it's probably early 2000, Susan and I joined Eastwood Baptist Church. At the time, I was working at Bell South. Y'all have heard me mention Bell South before. It was my dream job. And I remember after we had went there a while, I had volunteered to get involved in an outreach ministry for the church of going out and knocking on doors and things like that. And so I was doing all that, and I was gung-ho, and I'd do that work, and then I'd go to my work. And I felt like I'm got a good plan going here for the church. I'm serving the church really well, you know. And so I stopped by the church office one day on my way to Bell South to make some copies for our meeting that was coming up on Wednesday night or Thursday or whenever it was. And I'm in there making copies, and my pastor's office door is open, and he says, he always called me bro. He says, hey, bro, come in here when you get through. And I went in there. Now, backstory, as we were attending there, I noticed that they were having real problems with their youth ministry. They couldn't keep a youth minister. They had one a few months, he left. They had another one a few months, he left. And probably a month or two before my pastor said, hey, bro, come in here a minute, God had revealed to me what he was going to do. He says, Barry, I want you to be the youth pastor. And I said, what? And I remember kind of, I didn't really argue with the Lord. I learned not to argue with the Lord, but I did say this, well, Lord, I'm not sure that I'm hearing you. Remember those four keys at the beginning? You know he's speaking and you know what he's saying, but I'm saying, Lord, I'm not sure I'm hearing you, but if this is you, it's like, I'm like, make the ground wet, make it dry, whatever, like Gideon. I'm like, Lord, if this is you, then you're going to have the pastor point blank ask me. Because I could be dreaming this up myself, because I was gung-ho about ministry. So I want to make sure, Lord, this is not me coming up with a good plan, it's you. A month or two later, I'm like, I done forgot. I'm like, he ain't never going to ask me. Hey, bro, come in my office. When I come in, he says, shut the door. And he just started telling me how his heart was broken. He didn't understand why he couldn't keep a youth minister, and the youth were suffering because of it. And he just looked at me. He says, why don't you be my youth pastor? Holy Spirit said, cha-ching. You know what I said? What I should have said is, hey, you won't believe this, but God told me that I would be that, and yes, I'll do it. But one thought was, if I tell him that God already told me that, he'll think I'm crazy. And the other thought was, I really don't want to do this. I love my job. And so I said, well, since you ask me, can we pray about it? Can we? And we prayed about it. I had to pray about it for a couple more months. But God tracked me down. He put the pressure on me. I knew it was God speaking. I knew it was his plan. I knew he was inviting me into his plan, and so I had to go to the pastor and say, I'll do it. I'll do it. And there's so many more that I could tell. I could just share an hour of things God did just in those few moments, but I want to get past that. So I, long story short, I take the job. I'm full-time. They're full-time youth minister. Never been a youth minister before. But God told me to do it. So I'm like, God's got this. I ain't going to worry about it. So it was so interesting that once I started showing up on Wednesday nights and meeting with the youth and all this, what I was doing, and I was praying and waiting on God. I didn't know what to do. I'm like, God, it's got to be your plan. You got to show me what to do. I don't know what to do. So I'm just going to pray and wait until you show me what to do. And so I'm praying and I'm waiting, but parents are impatient. Hey, Barry, what are you going to do for the youth? And I'll say, well, I don't know. And they'd just go, what do you mean you don't know? And I said, well, I'm praying and I'm waiting on God to show me. And that went on for probably, you know, a month or two of parents questioning me. And me, it took great courage to tell them I didn't know what I was doing. It took great courage to say, you know what, I'm praying and I'm waiting on the Lord. Why don't you pray with me? Why don't you help me pray? Because the Lord will show me and then we'll get rolling. We'll know what to do. One day I'm in the office and, you know, ministry people, they get tons of junk mail. One day I'm going through the junk mail and I find a group magazine. It's a curriculum magazine. And I'm going through the magazine and about halfway through something caught my attention. It was a poster. And the poster was a, where is that poster? There it is. And it's kind of a cool image, you know. It's obviously when he washed the disciples' feet. It said, call to serve, come get your hands dirty. When I read that, the Lord just said, that's it. That's what I want you to do. I want you to teach students that they're called to serve, and I want you to take them to get their hands dirty. In other words, he wanted me to teach them to do ministry. I'm like, okay, God, thank you. It was like an epiphany. I mean, boom, that's what I want. Okay, Lord, that's what I was waiting on. And then I started praying, okay, Lord, how do you want me to do it? How would you have me do it? And he starts building this into my heart of step by step how he wanted me to do youth ministry. He took me to two scriptures in the Bible. One was the Great Commandment, and one was the Great Commission. You know, the Great Commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law of the prophet. And Jesus, I mean, the Lord just spoke to me and said, if you just do those two things, because Barry, I know you're limited. Just focus on those two things and everything else will take care of itself. Teach them to love God, teach them to love people. And then he took me to the Great Commandment, go and make disciples. And it was like, teach them to share the gospel. Love God, love people, share the gospel. And by the way, you hear that a lot? I was first. That was 2000. But love God, love people. So we started this. So then he gave me a name. The name was Dirt Crew. Dirt Crew. And Dirt stood for Disciples in Real Times. And I would tell him, if you want to be a real-time disciple, you got to get your hands dirty. And so that was our motto, Dirt Crew, come get your hands dirty. And so we began this ministry, and for over a 13-year period, I want to tell you some of the things that happened. And I always tell people when the Lord gave me that, and I went and spoke to other places, I said, you know, God gave me a vision as clear as dirt. And it was just such a beautiful thing. But over a period of just 13 years, we began with 12 students. I remember the first Wednesday night, 12 students. And one of them I had to take out to his parents in the sanctuary. He was so bad. So it was 11 students. But as God began to bless and build this ministry, we ended up averaging 60 to 80 students a week. This was in a church that ran less than 250. So that's a huge margin. Only God can do that. Over a period of 13 years, we produced 26 youth camps, hosted multiple churches. We witnessed 111 salvations, many rededications, baptisms, callings into the ministry. Listen, here's what I'm saying to you. Don't hear what I'm not saying. I'm not saying Barry did this. I'm saying listen to what God did. I had no clue. I'm telling parents, I don't know what I'm doing. But what does God do? We had at least a dozen out of our ministry, not counting, we can't even count the numbers of all the other churches involved, But we had at least a dozen from our ministry, both students and leaders, went on to become pastors, youth pastors, ministry leaders, and missionaries. And churches from Georgia, Alabama, Tennessee, and even California become dirt crews. I mean, they're like, we want to do what y'all are doing. It was just amazing. Only God can do this. And combined, these churches produce thousands of hours of community service every year by just taking their kids out and getting their hands dirty. I mean, just it was just amazing. And they would earn a dirt shirt. It was simply saying, go to four dirt crew events and earn your dirt shirt. You know, we just had the dirt thing going on. Susan and I had a blessing, a gift from God, where we got to go to Hawaii one year. And in Hawaii, we found out they had a dirt shirt. And it was where they would dye shirts in the soil, in the sand of Hawaii, and it would make them that kind of red clay color because of all the iron in the sand. And when we got back and I seen about all this, God says, hey, remember the dirt shirts? And so we found shirts the color of Georgia clay, and we put that handprint on them, and it was come get your hands dirty. Any student that would come and serve in four ministry events would earn their dirt shirt. And we'd make a big deal. We'd bring them up in front of the church, and we'd award their dirt shirts. And they just thought that was the greatest thing in the world. And all these churches was doing that, and it generated thousands of hours of community service year after year. Just amazing at some of the stories that come out of that. People getting saved through the community service. Just amazing stories. And so many other churches, you know, on top of that, about halfway through those 13, 14 years, here's how God works. He always, you know, he's always thinking five steps ahead of you or me, right? And he wanted something bigger for this ministry. And so we were serving at our church. And by the way, I want to tell you how great this was for some guy that had no clue what to do, that God wanted to do great things through. And at the same time that I was doing the youth, Susan was the children's director. And she had them from birth through elementary school, and then she'd hand them to me, and I'd have them from middle school through college. I mean, it was just so amazing. And God, the beauty of that was God was blessing both sides of that ministry. I mean, we had babies, we had kids coming out the woodwork. It was just such a beautiful thing. None of that we saw coming. None of it. But about halfway through, God was wanting me to go to the next level with it, and I had no clue that I didn't understand that. And so he forced my hand. And he had my pastor that was, you know, that hired me and brought me on board. He comes to me one day, he says, Barry, I'm taking another church. I'm like, what? What do you mean you're taking another church? And so again, long story short, he leaves, he goes to another church, and a new pastor comes in. And the new pastor wasn't into all that ministry that was going on. And no, you know, I'm not, this isn't to put him down, it's to show you how God can use any circumstance to take you higher. And so he let me know behind closed doors, he's like, Barry, this church loves you. I would never do anything to mess it up. I would never fire you. I just want you to know you're not my guy. What are you supposed to do with that? I said, thank you for sharing that with me. I went home, I prayed about it, and the Lord says, well, then you need to leave. Barry, you know what to do. You need to leave. Where am I going to go, Lord? What am I going to do? Well, what I didn't know was he is wanting us to turn the dirt crew into a nonprofit organization. And so it had to take those apron strings being cut to push us out into the deep to where we could then minister to even more churches. And so we did that, and God gave us some of our largest, most successful camps was after that. That's where most of the churches took on that persona of dirt crew after that. That's where more people was being called into ministry and getting involved after that. It was just like he took it to the next level. And then when we got to that level, then he allowed me to go, and I got so many invitations to speak at conferences, to speak at D-Nows, to speak at events, to go and be the speaker at camps. I mean, it's just like God just let it all grow even more. And it's just a beautiful story of what God could do. And there's no way to measure the ultimate impact of that. Because you've got people going out into ministry. You got other churches doing this, and they're raising their kids. And how many of their kids went out into ministry? How many of their kids received Christ? There's no way to measure all that, but it's what God was doing. It's what God was doing. All of those great accomplishments, and listen, that's just scratching the surface. There's so many amazing stories to tell in those 13 plus years. But all of those great accomplishments, God began with a guy that had no idea of what was about to happen. I was clueless. I had no idea what to expect. But here's what I was willing to do. I was willing to pray, and I was willing to obey. The hardest part for me was obeying, was leaving Bell South to go into full-time ministry, because I've told you before, that was my dream job. And they paid me way better than that church, by the way. So that was hard. But just a guy that has no clue, that was just willing to obey, was willing to pray, and was willing to wait until God showed him what he was going to do. That's where our hearts need to be. That's how you hear God. I don't know if it's just that I've walked with him so many years and I've spent so much time just praying and waiting and listening, but it's gotten easy for me to hear God. And I don't mean that in a bragging way. I'm just saying, if you practice this, it'll get easier and easier and easier, but it'll get harder and harder and harder. It'll get easier to understand him, but he'll be asking you to do bigger things for him. You know, and so this is where we're at today. I just wanted to share that story to brag on God and to say, you know what? He don't just do things like that in the Bible. He does it wherever he wants, whenever he wants, and he could do it right here in this church. And you know, the closer that we can get to being something that brings great glory and honor to God, to being a church where God does things that blows our mind, you know how close we can get to that? We can get that close when we all have our hearts sealed. Take my heart and seal it, Lord. Take my heart and fill it with your Holy Spirit. Let me be willing to be patient. Let me be willing to pursue my relationship with you. And let me be willing to wait until you tell me what to do. And if we could get there, there's no limit to what God can do. And some of you are already there, and God's already doing work in this church. I believe he can do much more, and I believe he wants to do much more. There's things in coming weeks that we'll be sharing with you that's just going to be so exciting about what God is doing in this church. And all I'm asking of each one of you is make sure your heart's there. Make sure you're really soaking in experiencing God. Make sure that you're willing, when he speaks, you're going to be willing to go. That's the hard part. Are you willing to be what he wants you to be? Are you willing to change to what he calls you to do? That's the hard part. Think about Jonah. He wanted him to go to Nineveh, and he tried to sail 2,000 miles the opposite way. His heart wasn't where God needed it to be, but God got his heart there, didn't he? He wants to get your heart there. So God still speaks today, and we need to respond. It's time to respond. And Jesus shows us how to respond by his prayers. I want to read from one of his first prayers and from one of his last prayers. In Matthew 6:10, remember, he gives us the Lord Prayer. Here's what he says: "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Pray that way. And then his last prayer the night before he went to the cross, Luke 22:42. "Father, if it is your will, take this cup from me. I don't want to go to the cross. I don't want to die. Nevertheless, not my will, your will be done." And God didn't take that cup away, did he? And aren't we glad he didn't? Aren't we so glad he didn't? Listen to the memory verse again, John 8:47. He who belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God. Do you hear Him speak today? You know, if you are having trouble hearing Him speak, the first question you need to ask yourself is, do I belong to God? Because if you don't belong, God, eyes has not seen, ears have not heard. The natural man don't understand the things of God. If you're not hearing from God, do you belong to Him? If you don't, you need to receive Christ today so that you can belong to Him. But if you do belong to Him and you're still struggling, still feel like you're not able to hear God speak, then you need to ask yourself this question. God, is there unconfessed sin in my life? Because that's a roadblock. That's a barrier. That'll keep you from hearing anything God has to say to you, because He wants you to get your heart right first. Is your heart right today? As they sing, I want us to stand. And I don't know how God's spoken to you, but I want you to respond however He's spoken. That may include you coming down to this altar and just getting on your knees before it and praying and getting your heart right with Him. That might be that you want to come and pray for this church to see what God's going to do next. It may be that you need to receive Christ. If you do, please come and let me know that, and we'll pray together. I'll share with you how simple of a prayer it is to pray a prayer of faith and ask Jesus in your heart. However God's speaking, just respond. Let's sing.
Love to see you here in person next time on Sundays at 9:15 for Sunday school, 10:30 a.m. for our worship service, and on Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m. we have our English classes, prayer meeting, children and youth ministry, and we would love to see you here for that. Thank you so much, and I'll see you next time. Ciao.